With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 387, the box office report for the week ending June 17th, 2018. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, an MDK. 387. What? You've never heard of that?
No.
A 387?
I've heard of 187 as the code for murder. I mean, it's like if you kill 200 more people.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, Jonestown was a 387.
I see.
Right? So that's how that works.
There you go.
But I don't know if they do that in French Guiana. Is that where that happened?
Yes. Guiana.
Well, there's Guiana and there's French Guiana.
Mm-hmm. I believe it's French Guiana.
Yeah, because the French always screw up everything. So I just figured it almost had to be French Guiana.
Really? Because they figured out potatoes.
That's the Irish. You shut your poor mouth.
Not Palm Fritz, friends.
There's only one thing the Irish really have going for them, and it's potatoes.
No, it's boiling water.
I think everybody's figured out how to boil water.
No, but they seem to like mastered it. What do you got there? Cabbage? No, give me that. What do you got there? Corned beef? Hey, give me that.
Throw it in. We'll make a soup.
I'm part Irish. I could say these things.
Yes. Ah, it all makes sense.
Yes. The Irish are not known for their culinary delights.
I only inherited my skin tone from the Irish, so I don't have much to say on it. But
I inherited my skin tone and my bad poetry.
Mm. Yeah.
Are they known as bad poets?
I don't know. I guess every Irish poet I've read seems pretty bad, but then at the same time, pretty much every poet I've read seems pretty bad.
Yeah, I think you just don't like poetry.
Maybe I just don't like poetry. I should stop blaming this on the Irish.
Although Robert Frost. That was a massive eye roll.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, God.
Now, is Bono Irish?
Yeah.
Could he be considered? I mean, musicians, they're writing. Is that a poet if you're a songwriter?
I think a lyricist in a band is a form of poetry.
Pretty close, at least.
So, yeah.
There's a documentary about his songwriting style, and it was pretty fascinating. I think it was in celebration of like the 30 year of Achtung Baby. So
right.
It came out a few years ago. And it was, I don't know, something like how he writes from 30,000 feet above, and he like kind of like he has a sort of just a little bit of a song, and then they write the music, and then he has to like figure out the rest of the lyrics. So he just kind of scats his way through some of the lyrics,
like David Lee Roth.
And then
we're done.
Bozdy bozdy bop, diddy bop. Sorry,
and then he'd be like bozdy bozdy bop, titties. Like that's that's how David Lee Roth writes.
Where's my sword? But so then he like just sort of figures it out, and then you know he's like it's kind of a dangerous way to write. And I was like, well, no, I mean I don't think there's actual danger involved. By
right,
but
I don't think anybody's ever been hurt.
Yeah, like, uh oh. But so he sort of like has just some like generic or rhymes and stuff like that. Then he slowly like develops the song around. But it seems to work. A lot of times, maybe not so much recently, but you know.
How many bands are still putting out like top tier music 30 years in?
Yeah, I mean it's tough, and it's tough because you know I understand that they want to do it live.
And I guess when I say top tier, I guess I mean top tier and still commercially relevant.
I'll tell you, you know who is I think figured out the formula is the Rolling Stones, and here's how they do it. They don't usually do albums. They'll just do like a song.
Yeah.
You know, like Doom and Gloom.
Yeah. But who played that? Did that chart? Was that on the radio?
No. It was like, and it was just like included on one of their latest greatest hits. Because
right.
They have like seven.
Sure, yeah.
But it's one of those things, it's like, so they're able to do like good new music. They just don't do as much of it. And I think, honestly, that's probably an okay way to go because you can slip that into the set list.
Right.
It's for those who are interested, it'll be good.
Man, I saw Bob Seger, and it wasn't even the songs were bad, but it was like he's working a new record, and he's like, I swear to Christ, I think he played like seven songs off of it.
I was just going
to
say,
and I'm
that's
like,
the worst.
You were doing yourself a disservice at that point because the first song he played, I was like, hey, this is a pretty good song. I should check this album out. The second song he played, I'm like, that's not a bad song. Like that, like maybe if on a second listen where I can really make out the lyrics. By the sixth song, I'm like, I want to stab you and end your bloodline.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like...
Two's the limit.
Yeah, I say
you
no
can come
more
back
than
later.
Yeah.
Sneak another one in later.
Well, yeah, he just didn't necessarily do
barrage,
six in a row,
but
six is
too
way
many.
Too many
for anybody.
Yeah, although as the as a concert promoter, I wasn't for this particular show, but I'm like, when they play new songs, I'm like, cha-ching.
Oh, yeah.
Beer
you're
sales.
Making money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a
that's
good
when
point.
They buy the beer.
But it's, I mean, we saw The Cult, and I saw them, like, at the Roseland Ballroom in New York, and they did the Electric album in its entirety, and then the Greatest Hits. Amazing show.
Yeah.
And then we see them, and I saw them at, you know, the Pageant a few years ago, or quite a few years ago. It was a great show. So they were coming back, and, you know, we told some friends of ours, I'm like, yeah, go. They sound so good. They're tight. His voice is great. And then they started doing some new stuff. And then, you know, the Billy Duffy, the guitarist, sits down. And I'm like, even the guitarist is bored. He sat down. When your guitarist sits down.
Not a good sign.
Let's ditch some of the new stuff. Like, do one.
Yeah.
Or two.
I think two, especially if you know you're a band that you're not going to really have radio singles and produce hits.
Yeah.
Like, the Cult's got to know, nobody's playing this on the radio.
No.
These songs aren't going to become hits.
No.
You know what I mean? So, like, two. I think two's your number.
No, we were at four.
Oof.
And I was like, oh.
That's the worst. It really is when you're just like waiting for the good songs. And then by the time it's done and they've sprinkled in three songs that you wanted to hear, it's over. And what do you know?
Well, it is ironically, the fifth song would be like Fire Woman, and the guitar is like jumped up.
Yeah.
Like even he was like, yay. Yeah. Thank God.
Something the crowd cares about.
Yes. Yeah, it was terrible. That part.
We should probably go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Dan.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. As you can tell by the fact that we talked about music and no one shoehorned in a wrestling reference, Joe's not with us this week.
Remember when Rowdy Roddy Piper played his bagpipes in the squared circle?
You know, Captain Lou Albano made a great album with Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, I'm like, that's all I can come up with.
Yeah.
That's all I got. Oh, Fozzy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
There's the Fozzy band.
Waka Waka. Oh, never mind.
No, that's a different Fozzy. So, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. You can also join the League of Show Sharers at facebook.com/realspoilers. People that were kind enough to share the show this week: Librarian Cynthia, Chris James, Jason Herndon, Brent Smith, Timmy Tuzoons, Chris Sanders, Jason Weesey, Travis Tewitt, Tom Kaminsky, Griffin Fox Smith, Julian Jordan, Richard Lawson, Tammy Sherman Powers, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Ralph Tribble, Lane Levanway, Jason Michael, Troy Anspaw, and Chris Magic Man. So thanks for doing that. We really appreciate it. It's nice to help get the words out and maybe add a listener or two occasionally. Also, don't forget, if you just can't get enough of us, we have a Patreon account. You can go to patreon.com/realspoilers, kick in as little as $5 a month, and you will get all sorts of bonus content for your ears. So there's all of our housekeeping. I guess we can turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom. And I just wanted, before we get into the official numbers, I do want to say that Avengers Infinity War, their domestic take has officially passed Justice League's worldwide total. So
I'm surprised their opening weekend didn't.
I know. So eight weeks it took it to, but I mean, you know, domestic versus worldwide, and you know that movie, it's made over $2 billion as we'll get into, but yeah. Yeah, just the domestic alone. It's so sad when you think about it. And like, again, we want good DC movies.
Absolutely.
And the fact that you made a Justice League movie, not you, Tom. I mean, I didn't want
to. Don't hold me responsible.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'll take the paycheck, but not the blame.
But, you know, I mean, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, the fact that we got all these heroes on the big screen together and the domestic take for Avengers beat it. It's just, it's still mind boggling.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
But anyway, so rest in peace, that Justice League box office total. But it doesn't seem like they're stopping anytime soon.
I feel like they would bail on this and try and start it over were it not for Wonder Woman.
Yes. Which is why we saw some Wonder Woman picks this week.
Yeah.
Just because they're like, just get something out there related to Wonder Woman.
Just get something out there where they won't mock us.
Steve Rogers and New Balance? Great.
Yeah.
How do they not just reboot it? And I mean, even just say, oh, Wonder Woman exists, or reboot it, but that story is part of, you know, the old universe, but, you know, still Gal Gadot, still, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand why they wouldn't. They have to be sick of hearing everybody trash them. It's just, and the money. I mean, again, they could be making $2 billion worldwide, and they make, whatever, $700 million.
Yeah. But they also, at the same time, are like, you know what we should do? Two separate Joker movies with two different people. That's a great idea.
It's almost like they're A/B testing their franchise.
Yes.
We're going to put out two Joker movies with two different people, and whichever one you like, that's the one we'll make more of, and screw the other guy. I can't believe the actors are agreeing to it. Like, you're really setting them up to fail.
I'm excited for the Joaquin Phoenix Joker origin, whatever. I mean, I think Joaquin Phoenix is one of the greatest actors out there. I mean, I'm interested in that. But the fact that they're giving Jared Leto his own Joker movie,
yeah,
after what we've seen of him, I that's unbelievable to me. I know there's some people that like it, some, but
I wonder if they're trying to backdoor into a reboot that
they're backdooring.
Yeah, without consent. But I wonder if like the Joaquin Phoenix Joker is like, if that clicks and it's darker and more grounded and serious, we'll get a Batman in that world and then move forward.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see what ends up happening.
And you know who else doesn't know?
Yeah.
DC.
DC and Warner Brothers.
Yeah, they don't know either.
You know, maybe the only reason they're not scrapping it is because Aquaman's coming out. I believe it's this year.
It's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, so it's
got to
be coming out soon. But I have no interest in even when exactly it comes out. But I think that's November of this year. So if they rebooted now, then it'd be like, oh, we're rebooting and we have a movie coming out in November. Like, it's done. So
right.
I wonder if they're going to stop production on anything else. Maybe Wonder Woman will be a part of the new universe or whatever, and maybe after Aquaman they go, hey, I don't know,
it's a hot mess.
It is.
Do you guys think, I'm going out on a limb here, but do you think Aquaman will actually be in the water this time?
Well, according to EW, unless it was just for the photo shoots, the photo shoots were basically Jason Momoa naked and soaking wet in water, you know.
But actually in the water,
right.
not just standing in the shore,
yeah,
you know, getting splashed in slow motion.
Hopefully, yeah. I don't know. Every single photo shoot, like, it's just a little ridiculous. Go look at EW if you care to, but it's like every character is just like, water dripping off of them. You know, it's like, it's bizarre. But anyway, this weekend, though, talking about movies that are in the top 10 and making money, Incredibles 2.
How about that?
The movie of the week.
What a shocker.
$170 million. Wow. I mean, that's even higher than they estimated. I saw early estimates were 130 to 140. So now they're saying 170.
I think this was a great weekend for them. I think...
Yeah.
Like, for an animated feature, it's a good Father's Day excursion.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, this is a movie that a lot of dads are going to be, you know, it's not like trying to drag dad to see Frozen.
Right.
As great as Frozen was, but you know what I mean? But a lot of dads are going to be like, But for The Incredibles, and, you know, dads probably are familiar with the franchise and probably like the first one, I think it's a much easier sell.
And then I think it's a nice bait and switch, and then mom's like, hi, yeah, the women are in charge and you're running the show. Yeah. You know, it's interesting how the story flips that, and then dad's at home with the kids in the movie, and we'll get into it. But those are, like, you know, him at home with the kids. That's some of the most entertaining stuff in the movie. And
yeah.
It's really interesting how they kind of flip the roles, and especially for the time period that Incredibles is set in.
Yeah.
But I agree. It's for the whole family. I mean, it was really neat seeing the crowd show up and how diverse the crowd was.
Right.
You know, from kids to adults, and yeah, really neat. So $170 million, fantastic for them. I don't have a budget on it. I mean, I know it's got to be around 200. I mean, that isn't that with the animated stuff?
The top tier stuff.
The big stuff, yeah.
So yeah, it's a Despicables. They churn those out for about 80, 90 million.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And they make a billion. It's insane. So anyway, yeah, we'll see what that does and if we get a budget on it. But yeah, big opening weekend for them. Number two, Ocean's 8, the movie from 2 weeks ago that we did not cover, but only took a 51% drop, so obviously some good word of mouth there. $20.5 million this weekend brings it up to $80 million domestically. It had a $70 million budget, so yeah, I mean, it's cracking that. It has about 20 overseas, so not too much there yet, but
they've got all that ancillary revenue from the Ocean's 8 action figures.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, they'd be dolls because they're girls.
Oh, I don't think you can say that anymore.
That's how it works.
Right? Dan, can you say that? Girls only play with dolls? I don't think.
No.
Yeah. I don't think you can say that.
I've just been watching The Toys That Made Us. That's what they keep telling me. Action figures are for boys. Dolls are for girls.
And they made up action figures.
Yeah. It was
call them dolls.
Yeah. Because of G.I. Joe. It was 12 inches, and they were like, that's a doll. Boys aren't going to play with it. It's a doll. And so... They had to come
it's
up
great.
With
great. I mean, it's marketing. They were like, what do we call it?
And action figures.
They didn't just call it like a, you know, they could have just gone like with the one word, like figure.
Right.
You know, but they're like action figure.
I love it how when you.
Because of all the multiple points of articulation.
Like on its own, like action figure doesn't sound that like that masculine, but you always think of it as like action figure. You know, just the way
say
that you
it like that.
Yeah,
well, and you don't necessarily think of it like that because it's always been in existence, right?
Yeah,
you've always referred to those as action figures. It's almost all one word, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in 1962 or whenever, you know, you showed somebody something like that and it was a Barbie doll.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a boy Barbie doll.
Yeah.
And so like,
the commercials and everything had to play it up as this is an action figure.
Right.
Get your G.I. Joe rumbling action figures, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, so Ocean's 8.
Oh. I've also been watching. If you like the Toys That Made Us, you might want to check out The Sex Toys That Made Us. It's
What are we?
What?
Just getting it ready.
I just got to the one about the rabbit.
There you go. Moving on. Once the rocket hits,
I have more. I can get him a rocket shake out of you if I want.
That was it. As you know, I'm checking parlimentary procedure. As soon as the maraca hits the mic,
it's hit.
It's end of discussion.
That was a hit.
Yeah. Moving on.
It wasn't even the shake. It was just like, no.
Yep.
I didn't even get to talk about the pocket pussy episode.
No.
Although,
I mean, I don't know. I remember seeing that at the theaters with my parents and. Not even having the insight into, like, I was older, but I should have looked at them, like, when they were ordering the tickets just to be like,
What are you
talking about?
Octopussy.
No, he said
pocket.
I said pocket pussy.
He actually said something.
I was like, wait, what are you talking about?
Octopus, because I was thinking about, yeah.
I'm like, you told us the death trap story, but not this?
So I have to say, like, because I didn't grow up in that era, and of course I know the movie now. And
era of pocket pussies?
No.
You're living in it, buddy.
Octopussy. Yeah. So when that came out, how did people react to it, and did they know what they were doing?
Everybody tried to maintain some composure, like, you know.
This wasn't happening. Yeah.
Were they trying to play off Pussycat? I just am trying to think of the mindset of why they named that character Octopussy.
It's so weird. That movie is also very. I have not seen it in a long time, so I'd have to see it again. But
is that the one with the white Ferrari?
No, that was a Lotus.
Okay,
and that was the Spy Who Loved Me.
Okay, I remember having that little toy, the little
me too.
Hot Wheel.
The one that was, you know, awesome.
The pocket pussy.
The one that the one that the little fins shot out of.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's the one.
It was very cool.
It was an awesome car.
It was.
It wasn't the toy that was shooting.
didn't start off white.
Stop.
What? But yes, I do think. I mean, it started early on in with Pussy Galore.
Yeah, I mean, they've all,
Honey Rider. Honey Rider is the first. Ursula Andress comes out of the water, and her name is Honey Rider.
Yeah,
I don't think that kids understand how smart Austin Powers is. Mm. Like, a lot of vagina is the parody of Pussy Galore. Oh, yeah. But like, when you're a kid, you know, and especially like because you were older. But like, when I was a kid, seeing Austin Powers in '97, I think when it came out, like, I didn't understand the James Bond reference.
Right.
But it's just all the parodies that they're doing throughout that series.
I actually watched that movie about 2 or 3 months ago with
Austin Powers.
Yeah,
same here
with my 13-year-old because I was like, that's the right age.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Totally holds up.
Absolutely. Katie and I just watched the same thing like a couple months ago, and I'm like, wow, I thought that maybe this would have kind of just like led to just obscurity.
Especially after he kind of crapped the bed with Love Guru, which I honestly didn't think was as bad as people made it out to be.
I think people were just aiming for him.
Yeah.
No, but I think it's better than the stuff Sandler puts out. Yeah.
I think it was just, it reeked of trying too hard. Like, he was trying too hard to have another Austin Powers type character. Yeah. And so once people went in kind of with that level of expectation, it needs to be twice as funny, right? And it wasn't. But because the theater I saw it with, people were laughing. So when people were like, there wasn't one laugh in the movie, I'm like, the theater I was in was laughing. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
A lot of them were cheap laughs, but they were laughing. But yeah, I was really surprised at how well that first, I haven't watched the other two. Yeah. I didn't like the third one at all. But
the third one.
I mean, maybe it was because of the age that I was when it came out. But the third one I just watched recently, and that had so many quotable lines that people, at least around me, I mean, everyone was quoting Goldmember. Like, that movie is the most quotable of the three. So it may be like an age discrepancy, but I couldn't believe, like, it was actually pretty funny. And again, it could be a nostalgia thing.
Yeah, some of it was, I just got too creeped out with the guy that kept eating his own skin.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was just like, oh, Goldmember, this isn't funny. It's gross.
Yeah, I mean, the third one, definitely, they're, you know, they've got the cameos of Tom Cruise and Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, I kept seeing this stuff, and I'm like, wow, I just couldn't even believe how much stuff they threw in that movie. And so I was like, wow, this is actually pretty funny. But
yeah,
I don't know. I heard they were making a fourth one at some point.
For the longest time, it's been in development, and maybe it still is.
And
I don't know.
Troyer's dead now, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's too bad they couldn't get it made if they're going to, or if they were ever going to, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can. I mean, can you recast Mini-Me?
No, like, he's like, no way.
I mean, it's pretty much his only role, but like, it's pretty. He's pretty damn memorable.
Oh, he's. I mean, yeah, he has to be one of the. I mean, if you think about the little person actors on the big screen,
right,
and sir, there's a lot of them that have had cameos, or there's Kenny Baker who you never see. He's inside, you know, but Mini-Me, Vern Troyer, you have to think that has to be one of the most mainstream. Not like, oh, it's one of the Lollipop Guild members. Like, you know, everyone knows Vern Troyer, Mini-Me. I just think that he really put, you know, before there was Peter Dinklage, there was Vern Troyer.
Billy Barty.
But I don't even know. The name sounds familiar, but who?
Billy Barty. It was Twicky. He was basically the go to little guy. All the way through the '70s and the '80s.
Gotcha.
Was Billy Barty.
Was he the guy that was the spy in Foul Play?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
The salesman?
Yeah.
He
wasn't a spy. He was a salesman. He wasn't he was a spy, right?
Yeah, he was the salesman. Yeah. But he was in but he also, what was interesting about Billy Barty is he was always like behind a lot of heavy latex and makeup, and always like the dressed up character. Like he was in the He-Man movie and stuff like that. And he had a very distinctive voice too.
Yeah.
He had a very cartoonish voice. So his voice, he did a lot of voice work. But he also had a lot of like non makeup roles like that.
Yeah.
And what he would be like the Peter Dinklage of the 70s and 80s. Yeah. He was in like a lot of the variety shows that they'd be like, and Billy Barty. And he, you know.
That's right.
Yeah. That name, it's come up in so many pop culture references. Yeah. Like, I've heard that because people say it.
He was kind of the most famous little person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was for
a long time. Like, that was. If you said name two, people would say Billy Barty and then stall out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I think that is sad, though, that they didn't get something together for Vern Troyer. But we'll see if that ever happens.
I think it would be sad to see him dressed up like Austin Powers now.
That's what Mike, I think he probably realizes that too.
Yeah,
it would almost have to be part of the joke, like that he's gone
gotten
to seed
older
or something. Like, I just think,
well, I would have him like not be like open with the movie and him like trying to be like just normal clothes guy, and like it just seemed wrong. Like, you know, he's in just regular like slacks.
Plus, he should have adapted to the time change by now. It's been 25 years.
And have that be the thing.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, you know what? We might have an idea here. Let's pitch the guys
maybe
over at New Line.
Mowing the lawn.
Maybe the joke is that he's like a super feminist now.
Yeah.
And is like, and is appalled at anybody.
And his dad, Michael Caine, is like totally against that. Oh, wow. So moving on to number three, Tag. Did you see Tag?
I did.
Okay. How is it?
It's okay. It coasts by on the charm of the cast, which is considerable. It's John Hamm, Ed Helms, Hannibal Buress, Jake Johnson from New Girl.
Jake Johnson from the Mummy reboot?
Yes. Yes. Or from New Girl. Isla Fisher. So it's a really, really solid cast. I just thought it would have been a little funnier.
Yeah.
Like, I thought like there would have been more jokes that landed. And so that was a little frustrating, but it was a great cast and they had a lot of chemistry. It was fun to watch them, but I wish it had been funnier.
Yeah. Did you say Jeremy Renner?
Oh yeah.
He's like the main one that they're all trying to tag, right?
He's never been tagged. Yeah. And so,
and this is based on a true story.
It is based on a true story.
So bizarre.
Inspired by a true story.
Right.
So super loosely based, but at the end you see the footage of the actual guys
playing tag.
And it's pretty cool. And they did do some of this crazy stuff. They would dress up in costumes and sneak up on each other.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Like, yeah. And so,
like, is it okay if you're going out, like, let's say you have movie pass, so it's free for you. Like, is it totally worth just a Friday night out to the movies?
Yeah.
Okay. For entertainment. You're not going to probably buy it or watch it again, but it's fun enough to.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that made $14.8 million opening weekend, so I don't have a budget on it. It does have a pretty, $28 million. So that's actually not bad.
That's pretty cheap.
It's got a pretty healthy cast on it.
Yeah, so. I guess none of them, though, have ever really been bankable film actors.
Yeah, I guess they have points on it, too. I mean, with that many people, just divvying it up plus the catering bill, I mean, that's, you know, they're hoping that it's going to be a success.
Yeah, but you figure John Hamm, for all of his celebrity status and hit TV show, he's never really top-lined a hit movie.
He's never sold a movie like
Ed Helms has been in some
Ed
hit
Helms
movies.
Is probably the most bankable of the for the comedy group.
But even then, I don't know that Ed Helms gets people in the theater. You know what I mean? I don't know if anybody's like said, let's go see the new Ed Helms movie.
Yeah, it's interesting. Was he Vacation? They tried to reboot with him?
And which was decent. You know, it certainly wasn't his fault. I thought he was great casting for an adult Rusty.
Yeah.
You know?
So anyway, but $18 million on a $28 million budget. So we'll see how that sticks around in the coming weeks. Number four, Solo, A Star Wars Story. That one's still sticking around. $9 million.
Is that what we're going to call it? Sticking around?
It's still hanging on. I mean, it's not making what they want it to, but
that's for sure.
But 43% drop this week. That's a $9 million take that brings it to $192 million domestic.
What did you guys? I did not listen to the episode. What did you guys think of that?
I liked it. I thought it was fun.
I saw it three times. I thought it was really good.
Okay, I haven't met a single person who has not liked this movie.
It's just the internet.
Yes,
it's the thing. It's,
like it has to be because like we saw some family last week and my uncle was like, oh, I heard it's, you know, maybe it's fatigue, and everybody who saw it was like, it's a lot of fun.
Hence the box office. It's the loudest voices that are saying how bad it is.
It's a lot of
fun. If especially casual audiences, I mean, obviously the super nerds, we had a discussion on this last week and then we found the articles to back it. There's a bunch of people talking about the toxic fans and everything.
Yes.
But if the casual viewers that don't have this, you know, vendetta against it for whatever reason, if you go and see it, it's a fun movie. You're not going to be like, that was just boring. And like, it's very entertaining.
Yeah. I said, honestly, for pure fun, it's probably the most pure fun, just simply for the sake of itself.
Since A New Hope.
Since one.
That's the same.
Same thing I said when I got out of it. I tweeted that. I'm like, this is the most fun since A New Hope. Like, the other ones, there may be better ones, but like, just the fun fantasy escape.
Like, it didn't try to do anything. Like, A New Hope came up, and yes, I know George Lucas in his head had a lot of ambition.
Right.
And it's amazing in hindsight. But also, the movie was contained. Like, if that was it, if that was the only thing you ever saw, it was like, that was fun.
You were fine. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's how this was. I was like, hey.
And is much as I like Star Wars, some of them more than others, but like, and I've liked the new stuff they've been doing, but how fun have they been?
Right,
you know what I mean.
Right.
Like they're so concerned about the mythology and the
well, especially the seriousness last one. And the it's pretty serious.
And well, they're carrying so much weight of everything. Like they're carrying the weight of everything before it.
I mean,
but I mean, you're right. But like Last Jedi is Episode 8. It's the eighth one, and they have to. You know, that's the penultimate film in the entire saga, and they have to. You know, they have to make everyone happy. They have to try to appease the fans and carry that mythology, and then set it up for the final.
I don't know, and I do worry that they're gonna maybe start to second guess things like doing an Obi-Wan movie or a Boba Fett movie, and it's like I think there's an ability to do those, and maybe depending on what this Fox Disney deal happens, they might look at long form storytelling, like a miniseries for Boba Fett,
right?
Might be better. Because they can make it a smaller, tighter, more handheld. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like grittier. And they might focus on doing stuff like that because if this... The reaction from everybody has been, oh, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think it'd be... I think they have to be second-guessing going back to the well for favorite characters because
if Han Solo can't top-line a film, who can?
Then Boba Fett or Obi-Wan.
What do you do?
I mean, I want those movies, but I mean, they have to be thinking that it's just with this kind of reaction, why do it to lose money and go through all the controversy? And then that Comcast deal I just saw, so Comcast put in a bid where Disney and Fox had this, you know, had it all accepted and they were getting ready to get it approved. And then Comcast bid something like $10 billion more dollars. It was already a $56 billion deal.
Yeah, $65 billion.
$65 billion. And the board...
Cash.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not $10 billion in stock options or whatever. And so the board just approved meeting to discuss it this week. So
they also have to pay Disney like almost $2 billion if
just
that deal... If the Disney deal doesn't happen, they got to pay Disney.
Which was
Disney
that's a drop
basically
in the,
threw that in there. Yeah. You know, sort of like, well, we're not going to walk away from the table with that.
Right.
But that's just a drop in the bucket. Like, I mean, Disney would much rather obviously have all. I mean, just think about that. The X-Men and the Fantastic Four and getting all those
and
characters.
And the distribution rights to the original movies.
Yeah.
And the back catalog of 20th Century Fox.
Think about all the new remakes and reboots they can do based on the Fox properties, you know, and Disney. Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of what's driving it is it just. Streaming content. They want to launch their own platform.
Yes.
And
20% of Hulu too.
And they and they need that content
and the infrastructure.
Yeah.
We're also talking about databases.
Yeah.
And server farms.
Yeah.
And networking and all of that other all basically, you know, all the IT and IS stuff that they're also going to bring.
Yeah. I really hope that I hope they come up with a deal. Comcast can take all the TV networks and all the sports or whatever they want to get because they're a television company primarily. Take all the television type stuff and give Disney the movies. Like
I wonder if they work out a deal like that.
Yeah.
You know, to where it's like, look, you want it for sports. Yeah. We want it for this.
Disney doesn't want Fox News.
Yeah, give exactly. Right. Yeah. So just all the television
because
networks.
They're like, ugh.
Yeah.
Because
then Comcast doesn't have to pay anybody for the channels. They're their channels, so they can charge for them, make all the profit. I mean, I just hope they work out a deal. I'm a proponent of the Disney purchase, but if Comcast is going to have to get in the mix, hopefully they work it out. I just want to see, I mean, what is Comcast going to do with X-Men and Fantastic? I mean, all they're going to do is start their own saga or trilogy or whatever. And I mean, I would just love to see these characters come home to MCU.
It would be nice.
Yeah. So. But anyway, so we'll see what happens with that one. But Solo has made another 140-ish overseas, bringing it over $325 million worldwide. But I think the budget is up to 220-ish with all the reshoots and everything. And then, you know, if marketing's another 100, I mean, it hasn't even made profit yet. And it's already to number 4 in the middle of this busy summer. And now we've got Jurassic World coming out next week.
It'd be interesting if they re-edited the original version, put it out. For comparison's sake, they would never do it, but it would be, you know.
Yeah. That's too bad.
It's too bad. It's a fun movie.
Yeah, it is. And it's, I mean, as far as Ron Howard's career goes, I mean, it's a high grossing film for him. You know, I mean, he's got.
I think it was his best opening weekend ever, wasn't it?
It was. It was record breaking for him. And I know that, you know, it was obviously didn't meet expectations, but it was a personal best for him, you know, for what it's worth. But I mean, it it's made almost as much as Da Vinci Code. And that was a huge domestically. And that was a huge film. The only film domestically that's made more money is How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
I think it was a hit.
That's his number one. So anyway, also getting ready for a reboot.
I think that might have been the highest grossing film of that year.
Yeah, wow.
It was a monster.
It was huge.
Jeez. So yeah, it's too bad about Solo. So I who knows what they're going to do next. Number five, Deadpool 2. Talk about a property that is working, though. $8.8 million, a 38% drop in week five. That thing is up to almost $300 million domestic and nearly $400 million overseas. So that's another $700 million and on a $110 million budget. That's
crazy.
I mean, no matter what happens with the purchase, it's like, I don't see how they could separate. I mean, not that the character couldn't work, but I mean, they have a movie here that, you know, without MCU is making $700 million, and the first one did too.
Right.
You know, I would think they would almost have to keep this in its contained universe and then just do the cameo thing. If he's, you know, pull him into the MCU for a little, you know.
Yeah. A little 5-minute sequence or something.
Because you can't do this at Disney. I mean, it's just, you can't make this movie.
I don't think you'd see the Fox brand go away. I think you'd still see 20th Century Fox movies because it would be Disney's way to keep edgier films at arm's length from the brand.
And this is also, I mean, Fox is the $60 billion company. I mean, you can't just be like, oh, we're just absorbing $60 billion worth of company and they're just going to move into the backyard of the studios. I mean, there's a lot that it takes to run Fox. Yeah. And so I really feel like it would be just, it would be Disney Fox, just like, you know, Disney Pixar. I don't see the Fox infrastructure going away. It would just be who owns, you know, who gets the profits.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could definitely see it continuing. But with these numbers, I mean, this is great that they were able to pull it off because, you know, with the success of the first one, and it was such a lightning in a bottle type thing, I didn't know if they would be able to recreate it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to see them do that. So kudos to them. Number six, Hereditary. So that's the movie from last week. It's made another $6.5 million. That's a 52% drop. It is up to $26.6 million now. No money overseas, but also that's a $5 million budget, I think. It's something low like that. So it's already making money, and the critics love it. And we talked about it on the show.
It got a D plus from CinemaScore.
It's, you know, and we talk, go listen to that show. I would definitely suggest seeing the movie first. Yeah. It's a very spoiler intensive episode, even more so than normal. We spoil it right up front because it depends on that. But I think it's a really well done quote unquote horror movie. And it's just not traditional. It's just not jump scares all over the place and trying to freak you out like that. It's the mood and the atmosphere that freak you out. And,
yeah, absolutely.
It's too bad that it's not doing better because I think the word of mouth has been really just subpar for it outside of the, you know, horror aficionados and the movie buffs. So anyway, we'll see how much longer that can stick around. Number seven, the Superfly remake. Tom, did you see that one?
I did not.
You didn't make it out to that one? Okay.
I don't remember if they even screened it for us.
I don't think they did. It's a Sony Pictures one.
I don't think they did.
Yeah. 5 points. I did catch a trailer for it. It looked kind of funny, but I had never seen the original. $5.8 million.
I think Joe saw it, but he thought it was about Jimmy
Superfly Snuka.
Yeah, he was very, very disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, am I in the wrong theater?
He's like, I'm all for colorblind casting, but this seems a little egregious.
It was just like 2 hours of chicken noises.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't leave.
Right.
He would just hold out hope. Yeah. Hope springs eternal.
He's going to show up eventually, right?
Jimmy Snuka is going to show up.
So it must have had a limited opening. I see it making $5.8 million this weekend, but it is up to $8 million domestic. So some sort of limited release.
I wonder if it opened on Wednesday or something.
Or, maybe a halfway. I mean, that's pretty good then if it made another $3 million.
Oh, that's true. Whatever, so it probably opened last week.
Yeah. So $8 million, no overseas money on that, and I do not have a budget on it. So, I do. Jeez, I do have more budgets the first week than usual here. $16 million.
Okay.
So,
well, it says it's week one, so I guess maybe it did open on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's possible. So, eight on a 16 week one, though, and it's already to number seven. So, I don't know if they expect, it to, I mean, because it just kind of came out of nowhere. Like, I didn't see previews for this until it was just coming out. So I don't know if they just plan on, you know, they release it and then they put it on video and it makes, you know, a ton of money. Because I didn't see them promoting it like you knew 2 months from now that this Superfly remake was coming out. So we will see what happens. Number eight, as we mentioned before, Avengers Infinity War still making money. $5.3 million is a 27% drop in week eight. 2 months in theaters, 27%.
Those are the people who just saw Black Panther on home video.
Yeah. $664 million domestic, and of course, it's about $1.4 million overseas. So it's broken $2 billion. Marvel doing it right. That's
absolutely
all it's to it.
They've it's an amazing cinematic achievement. I know that they're getting their accolades in cash, but I think that you really got to step back and be like, what is, was this the 17th, 18th movie in this franchise? They haven't made a bad one yet.
Yeah.
Some are certainly better than others, but they haven't flat out made a bad one.
But if the worst one, I mean, compared to the DC stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I hate to keep bagging on it, but it's just true.
Yeah,
right?
With the exception of Wonder Woman, their worst movie is better than
easily
DC's best movies.
Yeah.
But just to an undertaking like this. And also, I mean, what other franchise has this many films in it? I mean, you got to go
in,
to...
In the scope of 10 years?
Well, right. 10 years.
And that was going to be the next part of my thought was like, you'd
I mean,
have
James
to go
Bond.
To you'd have to go to James Bond, and it took him 50
right.
plus years
to get,
to
what,
get there.
27,
yeah.
20.
And that has a very consistent quality about
sure.
it. I mean,
yeah.
again, some are better than others, but I don't know that they've ever truly made just a flat out bad one. But
James Bond is mostly standalone films.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
So a lot of times a new actor always, except for the new stuff, always a contained single film.
Right.
10 years of 18 films that all link together. I mean, outside of superhero stuff, like you said, I mean, this is just a cinematic film achievement.
And it's, I know that it's kind of based on pre-existing. I mean, it's not kind of, but it's not, it's not like Harry Potter where it's a book series with one through line. They've been going and like, you know,
cherry picking. Yeah.
Certainly like these storylines have been inspired by pre-existing comic book storylines, but they're interconnecting them in ways they didn't interconnect before. They're taking parts of this and parts of that.
But who else has done that 18 times and been successful? Like, we'll take this storyline and the best from this and the best from that. And to think that you come up with something that is the most
good and coherent.
Yeah. Yes. It really is. Like Kevin Feige, I don't, you know, there have been rumors since they said that, oh, Kathleen Kennedy is stepping down, that like Kevin Feige's going to go and take over Star Wars. And it's like, I think he's doing pretty well over here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he could do both at the same time.
I don't know that he'd want to. Like, you don't need the money, and why risk tarnishing your reputation?
Well, I don't know.
He also, I mean, I think he still very much, you know, enjoys.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, who wouldn't?
Right. Obviously,
he's making all this money, and the internet doesn't hate him yet.
Right.
So
that's what I'm saying. Like, so even if the position was open and they're offering you great reward and you have the chance to be a part of Star Wars, which I would imagine most people, like as a fan themselves, would want to do. But also, do you want to take the risk of being in charge of the new Star Wars?
Not if I'm Kevin Feige.
Yeah. I mean,
now, J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, I mean, he already has a career that's kind of muddy to where it's like, he does some really good stuff, then he does some stuff for people like, and then he does some good, you know, like,
I think you might find that he's kind of a better project manager than director.
Yeah.
And I think he might serve as having lots of story writers under him, bringing him ideas, and then him picking the best parts and piecing them together. I think that's where you might find J.J. Abrams truly excels.
A Kevin Feige.
I think J.J.
Abrams
is not the next Steven Spielberg. He is the next Ron Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ron Howard. And I think, and you got to think about Imagine Entertainment and the, to your point, the producing and the, you know, overseeing the story and stuff like that.
Ron Howard is, and I have a lot of respect for Ron Howard. He's been in a lot of movies I absolutely love. He's not an auteur.
No.
He's a craftsman.
Yeah.
And that's not an insult. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because he can make Splash and Night Shift and Apollo 13 and The Grinch. You know what I'm saying? Like, but if you sit down and you don't know who directed the movie, if you sit down in front of a Scorsese movie, Tarantino, Spielberg, you can suss out, I know who made this movie.
Of course.
You can't with Ron Howard. It's not the type of movie. He's there to serve the story. Yeah. And I do think in a lot of ways we've become so focused on directors, we don't always see that you don't necessarily need to see the director stamped imprint on screen, yeah. right? And I think that's why I think he, and I still think he was an inspired choice to take over Solo. I think
absolutely.
That I don't know, even though they feel like this movie underperformed, I don't know that anyone could have done a better job than him with that movie,
right.
given the set of circumstances he inherited.
I think given the circumstances, like you said, the fact that they made the movie they did, which I think was a lot of fun, but not even considering the circumstances, I think it was a lot of fun. But when you see what they went through and the development and how many reshoots there were and the firing of directors and the whatever all happened and all the rumors, it's like, wow,
yeah,
he made this with all that going on. And yeah, it's really impressive. So he's great. I think another one similar to him that I don't think always gets enough credit is Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott yeah. doesn't have, I mean, he can make any type of movie too,
yeah.
And
yeah.
he doesn't have a certain style. Like, you know, Tony Scott movie, you know, it was a Tony Scott movie.
Because it was blue.
Right. But Ridley Scott, though, I mean, he bounces around from doing alien movies to doing, you know, indie or art house type movies to doing action movies. And it's just, he yeah. can do whatever. And, you know, and it's crazy how much he's put out, sometimes two movies in the same year that are drastically different and still big movies.
Yeah.
So yeah, Ron Howard, he seems like a nice guy too. Whenever you see like, Ron,
I listened to an interview with him with Mark Maron's podcast yeah. and it was just like, when it was over, I was just like, I just want to hang out with Ron Howard.
Right.
Could
absolutely.
Could I hang out with Ron Howard for a while?
I mean, just his stories.
And he's just like the nicest dude.
I seriously, if him and Tom Hanks were in the same room, I think a black hole would form.
Yeah.
Of niceness, like
yeah.
I just
yeah, seriously, we need to kind of keep them separated.
Yeah, like I think like
they
the
can't
world
be on the same plane.
There would have never been a Splash or Apollo 13.
Yeah, but now we got to keep
now
them separated.
It's especially
they can't be on the same plane.
Now they're on like America's Dad levels, like yeah. you know, it's just
man. Yeah.
So coming in at number 9, Adrift, which we talked a little bit about last week, Brad Hyens saw it. It made $2.3 million, a 56% drop. It is up to $27 million now, 800,000 overseas, so for whatever that's worth, $35 million budget. So not quite hitting its goals there. And rounding out the top 10, a movie that's doing quite well for itself, Book Club made $1.7 million, a 60% drop in week 5. It has made $61.8 million now, and there's no money overseas, but, I mean, that's, I don't know that I would have ever imagined Book Club making $60
million. Yeah, it's the same old story, keyword old, but that there's not a lot of movies for this demo, and so when they get something, they'll go to it. They might not go to it first weekend, yeah. but they'll go to it.
And they put, I mean, they put the cast as, this is, what do you call it? Like, this is a, the super band. Of,
right. Yeah.
Of this.
Yeah.
This demo.
There's a lot of star power on that screen. Maybe yeah. not for our generation, but
right.
for that generation, absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway.
Probably would have made even more money without Jane Fonda.
Oh, that's true. The older demographic.
That older yeah. demographic. There's still
Hanoi
a lot
Jane.
Of people yeah. that are like for good or ill. I'm not even arguing that
oh,
it's
yeah.
right or wrong. I'm just
yes.
saying there are a lot of older people that are like, Jane Fonda can go to hell. I will yeah. not see one of her movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm my age and I don't like Jane Fonda.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't avoid a movie because of her, but she irritates me.
Yeah.
But
I'll watch Barbarella all day long. Yeah. I don't care what you guys
off.
Say.
yeah.
On Golden
right.
Pond.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Dan's VHS copy of Barbarella. Yeah. But, you know, just to put this in perspective, you guys, Book Club has now made more money domestically than Pacific Rim Uprising.
Honestly, I think I'd rather see Book Club than see that movie.
I would have
again.
To base my decision on, as someone who's seen them both, on running time.
Tomb Raider? It's made more money than Tomb Raider?
Really?
The video game reboot that was,
I think
I mean,
that did okay.
Decent. Yeah.
Did it make $100 million?
Domestically, $57 million.
Wow.
And Book Club's at 60. So I mean,
yeah.
you look at that, it's just like, wow, there's actually some big movies that, I mean, Red Sparrow made 46, and
yeah,
as Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I know.
But yeah, you would expect
you would
that
think
to do better.
That
yeah.
was gonna yeah, so it's just crazy to see that movie outperforming. But hey, I mean, they've got a demographic and a niche and
totally
worked out. So that's the box office.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I guess it's a for this one, let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter, DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter, @KevinRBrackett, and listen to Show Spoilers. Follow it on All the Spoilers on Twitter because someone took Show Spoilers, but that's @AllTheSpoilers, and we are talking about Westworld right now.
And this time, you can follow me on Twitter, @RogerKubert, or on Facebook at Facebook.com/TomOkeefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers, or on Twitter, @RealSpoilers. Don't forget our Patreon account at patreon.com/realspoilers. And find us on iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Incredibles 2. Until then, you've been warned.
The world always gets back in jeopardy. Sometimes I just want it to stay safe. I just cleaned up this mess. Can we keep it clean? Sometimes I feel like the maid. I want to keep it clean. I want to keep it clean. But it always gets back in jeopardy.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.